Notre deuxième présentation s'intitule « Comment les réseaux créent un impact ». Our next presentation is titled Networks Making an Impact. Two guest speakers will address this issue. Please welcome Mrs. Kimberly Buffett de l'Association des Coasters from the Coasters Association and also Mrs. Marcela Ferrada Videla du C3S de la Basse Côte Nord.
I gave her time cards because we're community people and we have the gift of gab. So for to stay on schedule, I gave her 5 minutes, 2 minutes, and then she got a zero for to tell me to get off the stage. So this is some beautiful pictures of where I'm from. We're from the Lornar Shore of Quebec, which is a very isolated region in Quebec. We don't have road access. It's 16 communities. Most of them are fly-in communities. And so you'll see through my presentation, I have some pictures and different things of the realities of health professionals on the Lornar Shore, which they have challenges. So it's been an adventure. We're going to be innovative. So keep your out-of-the-box hat on while I do my presentation, because that's the way we work. So the Coasters Association and what we call our team for the McGill Project, the Education Network. The Coasters Association was formed in 1989. It's one of the older Anglophone organizations. It's just celebrated its 23rd anniversary. So it's very, I guess you'd say, entrenched in the community. It's been there a long while, working for the rights of Anglophones on the Lower North Shore. The Education Network is a table that we formed 2 years ago. We formalized it. It was operating before, just didn't have a name, I guess you would call it. But it's a branch off of our bigger NPI table, the Lower North Shore Coalition for Health. And on there, Marcela now sits. She wants me to remind you guys she's new, so she's only been with us for 4 months. So she's going to listen more today. We have the director of nursing, the director for programs for families. She works in charge of all the social workers, the different intervenants, speech therapy, things like that. She sits at that table. Then we have the director of adult education for the school board sits at that table, and then myself and the director of the Coasters. The strengths of our network. I think our when we came together to formalize the plans and different things for the Lornar Shore, which I'll get into before, like I said, you have to have people around the table that can make decisions. And we're very lucky and fortunate to have those people around the table, because that's one of the challenges when working in community is the length of time to get a response back. So where we have the directors sitting at the Education Network, we can make a decision very quickly on something that we want to move forward with. And that has been one of our strengths, is that it's all managers that sit at that table. We all have a strong challenge, understanding of the challenges, mostly due to our isolation of working on the Lornar Shore. And we believe in the partnerships. I think that we believe we can make it happen between the community and the institutions, that we can make change. And I think that belief in ourselves is really important. We all have an open mind, like I said, and we like to think out of the box. And you're going to see in my presentation, we've done some very inventive things to improve education on Lornar Shore. And we're very committed to the sustainability of this network. And I think I saw this the most when we had the year with what I call of transition, where we had no McGill, because we still met. And even though the funding, we had that gap year of no funding, the network didn't stop. The initiatives didn't stop, and we found alternate sources of funding for training and different things like that, which I think showed the power of what McGill had, the first phase had rooted in the community. Down in the corner, you're going to see that is actually our ambulance service, because we have skidoos that go to in the villages. They don't have road access in the wintertime, so everything is by snowmobile. So if you're a nurse working in a remote clinic, that's how you would go to the house to pick up your patient. And it's towed by a snowmobile, and we have first responders that work with the nurse. So this is kind of our dynamic. In the first phase, we did a survey with all of the nurses, and this was the first time this had been done on the Lower North Shore. And we wanted to validate why we had such a high turnover, especially in nurses. And so we didn't just survey the ones that were on the Lower North Shore, we surveyed the ones that had quit. So why did you quit? What was your challenge? What didn't you care for? And really what we found from that survey was some of it was, you know, well, I thought I was coming to a region, I didn't know I had to bring this. Like, we only have small grocery stores, you have to do a meat order in the wintertime to get your meat in, they arrived, all those kind of, some of them were very big community challenges, not really health services challenges. So we had to better inform our nurses, those kind of things. We, after the survey, we had a team came in, and Brenda Edwards was there with us when we did the first trip. And at the time, it was Una, who worked for McGill. And we did a tour of all of the clinics. Because I think until you travel to the remote clinics and you actually meet with the nurses, you don't have an understanding of how they work and the challenges they face waiting for medevac planes and different things like that. And I think for Una, and I always remember, you'll see some more pictures of that trip, she brought her husband with her. And we were traveling on the snowmobile trail, and we got past St. Augustine, and we got off, and we said, how are you finding the ride? And he was originally from Ireland, and he told me, he said, well, it's a lot like riding an elephant. So I always remember, and when I'm at meetings and everywhere he went, so that first skidoo ride with them. And I always remember, because a lot of our villages don't have drinkable water, and Brenda went to brush her teeth in Tabatcher, and they had a big sign, don't drink the water. But I think those challenges, they could see the other challenges, because we have a lot of community challenges that make it more difficult. So from these tours, from that initial survey, we have been in development. So I'd say the first year of McGill was really exploring, and I think that's laid the foundation for everything we've done since then, and we've made a lot of progress. So our result area one that we work is really our education network to ensure the development and implementation of what we call our retention plan. And I'll go into that. Our retention plan has many facets. So how are we going to get people into, first of all, want to do health and social services, and how are we going to retain them on the other end? And we have a very, very big vision from very young to at the end of this spectrum to getting them right to their retirement. And then we want them to live on the Lower North Shore after they retire too. So we have our local education network that we work with, which is our local team, I guess you say. Then in the last year, one of our things, and Jody Lasar is over there, we formed a regional education network, which is for the whole Côte Nord region. And it was really to share our best practices, we share suggestions, we try to improve cooperation between the establishments in the Côte Nord region in terms of internship, language training, and just to see how we can better work together. And then we have the Access Committee. And we really try, because the establishment has applications that go to the Access Committee, and we have applications, but we want everything to be integrated. We don't want the hospital to be doing theirs in a silo and us in a silo. So all of our applications we write together, and then they're presented, and Jody Lasar sits on that committee, as does Carnella. And so that communication channel with the agency has got to be good, I think, for it to be successful. And that's the sign for the speed limit on the snowmobile trail. And this is us just outside the coaster's office when we left that day. And we had someone from the Commission for Official Languages that was with us that day. And he was he's an older guy. And what we call a midlife crisis, you know, here's a convertible. He had like a 800 Renegade or something that he got on and drove that day. So all during the trip, we told him he had a midlife crisis skidoo. But it was a fun trip. This is Una there. This is actually a picture of where the helicopter lands. In one of the villages is an island, and in summer even there's no access, so the way in is either by boat or by helicopter. So this is them outside the clinic on the helicopter landing pad where they come in for medevacs. And this is the just when you're going down the big hill in past St. Augustine, so on the trail. So this is part of our trip. In the first phase, we really wanted to assess at the Centre de Santé level internally their tools for hiring and their capacity, I guess, for communication of what we needed for the future. What was the actual jobs? We knew we were facing lots of retirements, but what did we need? So we did, we revamped the Centre de Santé website, because one of the things that came out of the survey is the nurses had no idea where they were going to. So we did, we filmed by camera the lodging facilities, the clinics. So you, if you were going to Chivry, you could click onto the website and actually do a virtual tour of your accommodations, so you would know what you were arriving into, all of those kind of tools. We did community guides and maps, you know, what was in that village. Was there babysitting for your children? Were there grocery stores? Where was the post office? We did all of those kind of tools. And we're still working on this. All of the tools have been developed, but packages for recruiting so that we could, depending on the village where that person was going, there's a package that's available with pictures and integration materials. And we also are working on a buddy system. So if you come into the community, someone will meet you, take you out for supper, those kind of things, because most of the villages don't have restaurants either. Now, that's our mascot. So we wanted to, our result area theory was really to look at the whole lifespan, I guess, of a child and to encourage them to go into health and social services, because I was said yesterday, our biggest asset are the people from our region, and if we can get them to go into health and social services and come back, there's more likelihood we will retain them. So we really explored then into the education system of, there's two programs that are career oriented in the high school and elementary system, which are GOAL, which is the elementary guidance approach, I guess, and then POP, which is in the high school. And so we really wanted to work with these people. We trained teachers, because sent them to Montreal for training and got them to visit health and social services establishments so they could promote this in the schools. We did biannual job fairs, and our C3S did do the forecasting, so they knew all of the careers that were upcoming in the establishment, and they advertised that to the youth. So all of this was built into PowerPoint presentations to encourage and all of that. And then the scholarship programs, which was a big piece that McGill, we had our first launch last night, we're very proud of. We had 16 applicants on the Lower North Shore, some amazing candidates that was very hard to select for, I can tell you. And from that, as you see, what we've seen for the early childhood, we developed what we call our McGill mascot. And he actually has a name now, Litu, they named him. And he goes to all of the carnivals. He's at any sporting event. He dances with everybody. And this really came from a best practice from the University of Liverpool that I met at a conference, that the importance of promoting graduating at a preschool level. And so he really, he goes in, we promote, and one of the parts we're looking at now is having doctors to come in to even preschool to meet with students. So it's really, it's from zero to the time they leave the Lower North Shore, we have something we're doing with all of the grade levels. Internships was another big piece this year. We're very proud, as 19 interns we've hosted in the region. So it was all of that development of how could we host interns, how could we place them in the clinics and monitor them through distance, which wasn't easy at the beginning, but we had some innovative approaches. Implement a sustainable training program to allow professionals to maintain and develop their professional skills. This was a big piece of why the nurses said they were quitting, because they felt very left alone in the clinics and that the training wasn't happening on a recurrent basis. And with the C3S, and in that year where we didn't have any McGill funding, that gap year we'll call it, we were able to create a partnership with the Montreal Children's Foundation, and we piloted a distance training program by video conferencing for nurses. And so the C3S liberated their time, and they were able to take training. So that's still ongoing, and we formed a partnership with the Native community to be able to do that. And we're looking at that now, and how can we use that model to develop it further? And that's part of our directions for the next couple years. We also created a system for stage, what we call placement. It's someone who have already graduated, but our C3S's philosophy, they won't hire without experience because of the isolation on the territory. And this was a special project we did with McGill. And we had people that had graduated but had no job experience to go to CITIL to work in that establishment. It was a partnership with the C3S CITIL so that they could be placed on the territory. And we're very pleased with that program. And it's been able that we've been able to hire a social worker and nurses and different things to have them placed back in the region. So this is another innovative program to solve one of our challenges. Because once they start working somewhere else, we often lose them because they end up in that system. And we work with the MRC to develop favorable conditions. This is really that integration into a remote village so they don't feel isolated. They know that what's going on, the church suffers, and someone picks them up at the airport and shows them around, maybe take them fishing, do any of those kind of things. So we really are working closely with the municipalities to develop that link so that the staff don't feel isolated when they go into the villages. Down in the corner, you'll see these are some of the housing facilities that our C3S has, because when you're hired in the remote villages, housing is provided. So this is one of our places in Chivry. And that's another thing that the C3S provides as part of our partnership, is all the stagiaires are housed and the interns are housed in their housing facilities. So it makes a very win-win. That's part of their contribution. This is one of our nurses. She's the only nurse in the community. She was working in Kigaska at that time. Kigaska has about 60 people in it, a very isolated community, so she's the only nurse in that community. So she's one of the nurses that take part in the remote training program. And here you can see, this is another one of our trainings we did on community kitchens with the nutritionists, and we had someone in from Montreal where we translated programs and from French to English and did training, and then in turn also did with community members. The retention plan, which I think is the cornerstone of our success, is it gave us who we are and who's in charge of certain initiatives, because you get that in the public sector, you're stepping on my toes. So it was really to give us that direction of who's going to be the lead on certain initiatives and what we were doing to improve recruitment and retention. The big thing there, I think, too, we really centered around the recruitment and how do we get the children to go into health and social services. When will the activities take place and where are we going? I think that's the big thing. You've got to have that long-term vision of how why are we here? To question yourself of why did we choose this path and to come back and evaluate ourselves, which we have. Experience. It's been challenging at times. It's great to work with the directors, but I think she'll agree with me. They're busy people, so you have to be accommodating, trying to organize these meetings, or sometimes like trying to organize a campaign for a war or something. So it's trying to get everybody around the table is challenging. But when we're together, things move very quickly. And I think we've made some amazing strides. And I think what we'd say is the improvements brought forth by the McGill program are amazing. When we started our adult education sector, was maybe 10, 15 people. Last year, we had 100 students graduate from our adult education program. Over half of them were in the health sector. So to see those improvements of people entering into that, from nurses' aides to people working with seniors, I think is amazing, the impacts that this has had. And just the training in the clinics, to see all those things, and the kids' success rates, all of those things, tremendous results. So for more information, you can contact me on any of the things. And that's our beautiful Lorna Shore.